You're listening to Radio, Radio. This is the Cliff Howarth Radio Show. So, that tells you it is time for the Gezi, and I would like to welcome my very special guest into the studio tonight. Our kid, good evening, Mike.
Good evening, mate. Fancy seeing you in.
Exactly, and fancy seeing you in, indeed.
By the way, that was a great intro music, whoever that was.
Indeed, yeah. You can't beat a bit of Susie and
you
the Banshees.
No.
Yeah, but all the way back to...
No, I didn't mean that. I meant Two Black Sheep.
Two Black Sheep, well, of course, yeah. Well, the funny thing is with that... with the black Two Black Sheep on, is every time I go to see them play now, when they start playing that, I get the urge to say welcome to the Gezi, and I've got to stop myself. So it's, but yeah, it's a good one to play that, and I hope my Two Black Sheep pals are listening here this evening. If not, I'm pretty sure they'll get it on the catch up as well. So yeah, welcome to Vintage Radio.
Thank you
for joining me on tonight's Gezi slot. You do realise you're following Ian Prowse, who was my last guest, sat in that chair. And big.
I think he's a fraudster. Yeah.
Big cheer.
I think I'm a fraudster.
Big cheer to Phil. Yeah. So.
Yeah. No.
So thanks for coming in.
I listened to that interview. It was great.
He's a top man. He's a top man indeed. And I'd love to be able to say that you're supporting Elvis Costello as well. But maybe one day. You never know. We might get there, might we? What we're going to do for those who are listening and listening to you for the first time, I'm sure there'll be a few, and I'm sure there'll be a few who know you as well who are listening. Let us know if you are and where you are, and we will tell the world as well. So, a little bit of background. I know all about you, so I'm going to let you tell the listeners a little bit about you, a bit about what you've done. We'll bring it right up to date shortly, but first of all, how did you get involved in wanting to play music, wanting to write music, and to be part of a band? What gave you that spark?
I mean, I think early for me was, again, but having older brothers, yourself, Ian, especially, was the music that you got introduced to. So luckily for me, it was Bolan, it was Bowie, Boomtown Rats, the Stranglers, which became very important to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was that sort of being brought up with that music, and then, you know, eventually, probably I think about 15 or something, picking up a guitar,
mm-hmm.
just starting to strum a few chords and playing a few songs. And I think probably the Mark Bolan thing is, you know, especially a lot of his acoustic stuff with mm-hmm. Steve Perrigan, took that sort of Tyrannosaurus Rex stuff,
yeah,
was good for me just to play along with. So that's really, I suppose, how I first started getting into the music. When I did pick the guitar up, the first song I learned to play was The Streets of London.
Oh, nice.
Interestingly, but again, that was probably because I had a mixture of major and minor chords in, so that was a good song just mm-hmm. to pick up and learn. So yeah, that was my first introduction, I think.
Well, you never had guitar lessons or anything, did you? You just sort of played from yourself?
You'll be able to tell that in a minute. just getting a guitar and just strumming a few chords, the same as other people. I mean, I can't read music. I have tried, but it's far too complicated for me.
What about at school? I mean, as far as your music lessons went, did you not have any inclination in during them to do anything? Or I mean, I know a little bit about Ella Green, so if it's anything like Allsop, it probably...
Yeah, it was a poor school, so I think you'd had like a bit of a triangle or, I don't know, a bar that you could play on, and you'd all had one bar, so I don't even remember there being guitars or any instruments. It's not like the schools now.
No.
They've all got the music suites and everything, which is brilliant.
Oh, it's amazing now.
I mean, my son's at Days, and they've got all those facilities there, and that's great for them. I don't remember anything like that being at school.
No, we didn't. Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can remember from Leamington Road was the recorder.
Yeah.
Whoever invented that, well, once taken out. But yeah, that's the only thing I can remember. But in the school that I'm at now, I mean, it's great because they've got a little music room there, and every now and again you can hear the kids getting drum lessons and getting guitar lessons and piano, and it's brilliant that at, you know, 8 or 9 years old they're learning those things, and you know how good is that.
I mean, I think it's fair to say that, you know, Steve also, our other brother, could play the guitar, and so and as we talk, you know, a bit later on about stuff, he got me involved, and it's all good.
Okay, so musical influences, you've named a few. bands and singers and songwriters there. When you were writing the songs that you were writing at the time, were you basing your songs on anyone in particular, or did anyone give you that, you know, a little bit of an extra inspiration to write what you were writing? Were you trying to write along the same lines as one of those people or not?
I mean, not really. I mean, I think when I sort of was my music that I, you know, obviously that was the music that I was introduced to, but then, you know, I was very into Echo and the Bunnymen, you know, Ian McCulloch, Susie, as you played for me there, mm-hmm. The Cure, bands like that. So, but I don't know really. I think at that time it was just trying to write things and trying to do stuff. So, without any real intention or any real backing, you know what I mean? It was just try to strum, and I never ever thought I'd be able to write songs, and you know, my songs are probably quite basic in some ways. I mean, interestingly, you know, again, listen, you know, people who are influencers, Elvis Costello, again, through yourself, when you listen to people like that and how clever the writing is, especially lyrically, it puts you off in some ways, because you think, you know, and then when you, some of the songs that I did, you know, and hopefully I'll play one of them for you in a bit. They're quite basic, really, I think. But, you know, hopefully, you know, in time that can evolve as well, I think.
But that said, sometimes the most simple songs are the songs. I mean, I look back to things you mentioned, Mark Bolan. I look back to things like Ride a White Swan, which was so basic, and yet, you know, it was only kept off number one by a comedy song, you know, and again, that is so such a basic riff and almost nursery rhyme lyrics, and yet...
No, I mean, it's true, but I suppose if you're trying to get yourself up there to a particular level, I mean, for me, I've got no aspirations like that at all. I just do it for fun, and you can, you know, at the minute I'd probably entertain the kids with the songs.
It's a labour of love, isn't it? But yeah,
absolutely,
it's good.
Okay,
okay, so what we're going to do is we're pretty much going to crack on, because we want to try and get a few songs out of you tonight, because you are going to play a couple of covers for us and a couple of your own songs as well. So what I would like you to do, if you can, is to play your first song. Tell us a little bit about why you've chosen this and what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was for you more than anything. I wanted to play a Bolan song. You know, I was going to play Spaceball of Ricochet, and I think we played it the other week, and the guy who did the version of it was fantastic, and I thought, I'm not going to go there.
All right. Automatic Shoes, he is a top.
Yeah, I mean, that was brilliant. So I thought I'd pick this one, which is Ballrooms of Mars. And again, one of the things I liked about Bolan is his use of words, very, very poetic in how he put his songs across. I have no clue what they mean whatsoever, but I just think it was clever the way he used his words. And this song's an interesting one because there's no chorus in it, no middle eight. It's effectively four verses.
Okay.
And then he, you know, sings the last two verses again. But I think it's a nice song, and hopefully you like it.
Okay, so this is Ballrooms of Mars, which is a T-Rex cover from the album The Slider, from all the way back in 1972. And this is Mike Howarth live on Vintage Radio, playing just for you. Take it away, mate.
You're gonna look fine, be primed for dancing. You're gonna trip and glide along the trembling plain. Your diamond hands will be stacked with roses, and wind and cars and people are past. I call you thin just when the moon sinks. Place your face in stone upon a hill of stars, and gripped in arms of the chainless madman, we'll dance our lives away in the balls of Mars. You talk about day, I'm talking about nighttime, where monsters they call out the names of men. Bob Dylan knows, and I bet Alan Freed did. There are things in night that are better not to hold. You dance with your lizard leather boots, pull the strings that change the face ways of men. You diamond road hag, you're a glitter gold gangster. John Lennon knows your name, and I see your head. Do 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 do. Talk about day, I'm talking about night time. When monsters they call out the names of men, Bob Dylan knows, and I met Alan Freed. There are things in night that are better not to hold. You strings that change the faces of men. Your diamond road hag, you're a glitter gone gangster. John Lennon knows your name, and I've seen his.
That was Ballrooms of Mars, cover of T-Rex, Mike Howarth live on the Gezi. Absolutely brilliant. I must say that's the first time I've ever heard you play that, and you've done it justice, mate.
Oh, thank you. I've only learned that for about the last week.
Absolutely spot on.
And if Ian Davis is listening, you spotted deliberate mistake.
That is one of my all-time favourite Mark Bolan songs as well. Thank you so much for playing that one for
us
tonight. Okay, so we know about Early Days. We know about your what you've listened to and influences. Before we go on to your next up and that, I just want to ask you about your first experience of going to see a band live. I know all about it, so can you tell us what it was like for you?
Okay. Now, I'm trying to think now whether this was the Stranglers in February 81 or Adam and the Ants. I think it was the Adam and the Ants, but you're going to tell me I'm wrong, I think. But we did see Adam and the Ants. I think it was the Manchester Apollo.
Mm-hmm.
1980, 1982 on. I was still at school, so I do remember that.
Yeah.
Am I right, first of all?
That was in March. The Stranglers did come first.
I knew the way you were looking at me.
So the Stranglers did come first, but two great gigs in a short space of time. So I can remember back to the first time I saw the Stranglers and what an experience it was for me. Yeah. I remember very well that night at Mountford Hall for the Stranglers.
Yeah.
So what was it like for you seeing that band?
I mean, it was great. I mean, the shame for me as well is when you seen them at Eric's. I was probably just a little bit young then. I remember you going with Gary Cave.
He got your ticket.
He did get my ticket, so that was disappointing. But by the sounds of it, I'd have probably been claustrophobic anyway.
Yes, you would.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, the Mumford Hall gig, it was just fabulous, because I think, you know, Waltzing Blacks comes on. I think, I'm pretty sure it was Sha Sha Go Go was the opening track. You'd probably tell me I'm wrong here as well.
You're wrong.
It was threatened. Okay. I do remember, actually, now thinking about it, it was threatened, and once it went to Sha Sha Go Go, the whole place went manic. And
it was a bit scary, because I can remember it was me, you, I think Paul. And
there's a couple of guys from school. Yeah, there's a couple of guys from school there as well.
Yeah, and it did get a little bit leery down at the front, probably during Waltzing Black, even before Threatened started. But I can just remember a sway of people and looking at you to think, where have you gone?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a little bit wild.
It was.
But
and
it's a bit of a journey since then.
Yeah, it was. And every time you see them since then, I think it's still wild, but it's a bit different now. Most of the people go to see them, they've got no hair, and they've got their sons and daughters along with them as well.
Yes, indeed.
No, it was a fabulous time, that. And again, you know, look at the Stranglers, especially the first four albums, just on, you know, amazing, really.
Yeah. And the song, I think the writing and stuff just got better and better as those albums went on. It's funny, because I remember going back to, I'm going to play a song after the Gezi, a Strangler song, which released 39 years ago. Well, the album was released 39 years ago, the Men in Black album. But I think the writing up until then was absolutely at its peak, and then it got a little bit strange, and then things changed a lot for them over the coming years. But I think during that early period, especially we saw them at Mountford Hall, they really were at the peak and playing some great stuff.
I think so, yeah. That'll be brilliant.
So that probably inspired you to want to be in a band?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. And again, you're probably talking early 80s now, and that's when, you know, we started to try to get a band together. So Paul Botham, obviously a friend from school, you know, still keep in touch, still know Paul, he's, you know, great mm-hmm. friend of mine. And obviously getting yourself involved as well.
Yeah.
On keyboard and mm-hmm. curly hair, well, I remember.
Indeed. And that band was The Man With No Face?
It was The Man With No Face, and yeah, also with Darren on bass and Kenny on drums. Mm-hmm. So five-piece band, and yeah, we did plenty of rehearsing. I mean, I sort of wrote most of the lyrics and things, and then I think we all brought our bits into the songs. Mm-hmm. The shame about it really was it didn't go anywhere.
No, I know.
So,
I know.
You know, we rehearsed quite a bit, which was great. I think we did one video in my uncle's primary school.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was interesting, because all the young kids there were bringing... they had cards with the names of the songs.
That's right,
on.
I remember that. They
and
did.
My uncle being my uncle, drawing different pictures of things on there and stuff.
I remember.
And those kids now are probably 30, 40 years of age or more or whatever. So that's quite interesting. But yeah, it was a shame, really. It was good, but again, work gets in the way.
Yeah, there was lots of things.
Everyone's
lifestyle. It was difficult. Yeah.
What they're doing gets in the way. So it was a shame.
But it was good fun.
It was great fun, and we thought we might try and get back together at one point. Just
you never know.
Go on a jam night and do stuff.
There's a gap in the market there, you know.
It's never happened so far, but it would be nice to do.
You never know.
It would be nice to do.
If you're listening, Paul, you know,
he's the lazy one.
He is.
Get it.
In fact, learn the bass. We have told you many times to learn the bass, I think. And we'll go. Mind you, I need to learn the keyboards, I think. So. But it was good fun. I'd say I can just remember doing the rehearsals. We rehearsed here, there, and everywhere, didn't we? From bedrooms to youth club halls to schools.
It was just good fun at the time, I think. And there's a lot of really good Liverpool bands at the time there as well. You know, the Bunny Men for me was brilliant, but you had Teardrop Explode. Again, someone I've met since, and you've interviewed Mark Vormawar.
Yeah.
Personal Column again was a band I listened to as well as the Mighty Wall.
It was a great time, wasn't it, around like the mid-80s?
It was just a lot of energy.
That's the fire alarm. It's probably John Jenkins who said that.
Yeah. Is it time for me to do a runner?
Yeah.
Shall we wait?
It'll go off, though.
No, it was an interesting time for Liverpool music. Yeah,
the Liverpool scene at the time was massive. Echo and the Bunnymen, which I know were one of your favourite bands, and you had the hairstyle to go with it as well.
I had the hairstyle, I had the Mac, I had the Chinese slippers. I used to walk, because as you know, we lived on Parthenon.
I went to school
just around the corner. Well, there was this sister, Julie.
Yeah.
And I'd be walking past the house, and I heard her saying to his mum, "Yeah, there's the lad who looks like Artie, you know, whatever, because we're dressed like him." So, and we used to sit there on the fence outside waiting to see him come.
I know.
With his girlfriend at the time, Julie. And we did get to meet him as well in his house, and he signed some things and whatever for us. But they always say you shouldn't meet your heroes, and he was a big hero of mine. And he was a little bit off himself for me, I must say. But that said, great music, great singer. Yeah, I'm sure an influence on me.
Okay, so with that in mind, the next song that you're going to play for us was a song that you wrote around that time, wasn't it?
It was a bit later. I mean, obviously, I think that...
Was it behind the back stuff?
It was behind the back, yeah. I think the stuff that, you know, it was around about 1987, 88, I think, that we stopped doing stuff.
Yeah.
And I had written other bits of songs. Mm-hmm. But this song that I wrote was probably the first one that I wrote on my own, but was prepared to, I don't know, play to people to have listened to. And it was written in 1990. And it was about the poll tax riots at the time.
Right, okay.
Whether you'll get that from the lyrics, I don't know. It's a very simple song. It's very basic. And it's called Song for Summer.
Right, before we play Song for Summer, we are going to broadcast this live, no pressure, on Facebook. We normally do this, so anyone who is listening, If you've got Facebook, which I'm sure you have, get across and have a look, because this is going to be broadcast live. And if you're just having a look on Facebook, then come across and listen on Vintage Radio once the live video has finished, because the rest of the session will be live here to listen to. So this is Song for Summer, live on Vintage Radio, and this is Mike Howarth. When you're ready, mate.
Cheers.
Absolutely brilliant. That was Song for Summer, live on Vintage Radio, Mike Howarth. And quite a few watches there as Mike as well. Joe Lewis, Karen Day, Amanda Appleton, Dean Shipton, John Kilby, Nick Fletcher.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Some people watching there. Thank you, guys. If you are watching this on Facebook Live, then this feed is going to finish now. But you can go across to Vintage Radio, which is www.vintageradio.org.uk, and listen to the rest of the Gezi. Okay? There you go. Finish that one up. So thank you very much, Mike. That was really good. So
thank you. Did you notice my legs shaking? No,
I couldn't. Didn't notice your legs shaking.
At one point, it was shaking. It went a bit.
No, that sounded
left
really
good. Feel, say.
Yeah, no, so. that sounded cool. It sounded really good.
Do you remember it?
I do remember it. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, there is a box of tapes probably somewhere in my loft that song is on, along with many other things. Some will see the light of day, some will never see the light of day, I'm sure.
No.
but that was certainly one that I do remember you doing, and I'm sure Paul does as well, if Paul was listening to that. So that one was written, what year do you think that was?
Yeah, it was 1990. Yeah.
1990, okay.
Yeah. Summer of 1990.
Summer of 1990. Okay, right, interesting time. And then you didn't really do anything about it from there, did you? There was no more. I mean, if you did, you certainly, I don't remember you writing songs or saying listen to this, or you just put on the back burner.
No, I mean, I still do bits of stuff. I mean, I had an old Tascam 4-track tape recorder. Still got it in the loft somewhere, and I did do some bits of things on there, but nothing that ever really, you know, went anywhere, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've probably got some stuff there. I mean, I was trying to think about this. I've probably, over time, I've probably only written about 30 songs, I think,
mm-hmm.
probably in my life. Someone like John Jenkins has probably written them this week, so...
Yeah, I would say.
But, you know, hopefully, at some point, I might try and... Yeah. Unearth some of them, I think.
Well, you never know. I mean, these guys had a massive gap in their singer-songwriting career. I know John certainly did. It was a long time in between what he did with his former band before he started up again. The same with Mark Formamore, really. So you never know. But let's get onto playing with a band. You did join a band, which was formed from the Meerkats.
Yeah, you come and... right up to 2004,
mm-hmm.
And obviously the band was Searching.
Okay.
I was with for 15 years until recently,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, we used to go. I mean, again, this was Steve, you know, our brother Steve,
who yeah.
used to go and watch the Meerkats, which was a jam night. At that time, it was at the Marconi Club.
All right.
On a Thursday night, I think it was, and yeah, it was some, you know, bands from the 60s and some of the actual original artists of the 60s as well. So we kind of got it. He was badgered me to get involved because obviously he played a bit of guitar, I played a bit of guitar. And they used to have a thing that on a Monday night you could go and rehearse basically with some of the musicians and they'd help bring you on and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we started going on a Monday night just to see what that was all about. And from there... we then, you know, we got asked would we get three or four songs together and get up on a Thursday night, which we eventually did, and that was around about 2004, probably around about September.
Okay.
Has it even been earlier? I've got it on video somewhere, the first few songs we did.
Right.
So we sort of got together, went up there and started like getting encouraged to get up. And we eventually got up and did, I think we did four songs. I'm trying to again think which songs they were, but
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it was Walk in the Room, Needles and Pins, certainly two of them.
Yeah.
Sweet's My Sweet, I think, was in there. Possibly another one. And then we made a bit of a mistake because they asked us whether we knew any more songs. And the only song we kind of rehearsed a little bit was No Reply by the Beatles.
All right.
It's a very difficult song to sing vocally as well, so... But that was the start of it, and to be fair, it's been a fabulous journey. It's a fabulous ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's musicians have changed over the years. So when we started, Dave Wilson, who you know well, was
yeah, no, Dave.
Helped us on drums, Jeff on bass. So we had a few, you know, drummers were the ones that we probably had most of. I think over the 15 years, we had about 20 odd
yeah.
drummers. But certainly Peter Maloney and Alan Wu. Sort of formed the base of the band, and we did really well. You know, we managed to play the outdoor stage, the Matthew Street Festival, played the Cavern on a number of occasions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and since then, once the band evolved, we were lucky enough to play the Philharmonic Hall, as you know well, because you got up and joined us at a point in time.
I did.
And
my,
also the
my 3 minutes
well.
Of fame.
It really did sort of evolve, and we were lucky, really. Because when I say we were lucky, we just got to play in some nice places.
Yeah.
Nice people, you know. I even remember things like we played in Aintree. Was it Aintree where we played? It was on a Pontins sort of Billy and Wally weekend, and I think we played in front of about 2,000 people or something.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
Southport.
Was it Southport? Yeah, Ainsdale. It might be
Ainsdale. It was Ainsdale. I remember
it was
that. Yeah.
Where, yeah,
yeah, it was.
So that was good. Again, we managed to go over and play in Hamburg a couple of occasions. Which
yeah, it was a great experience. Yeah, it was. It was good.
So I think it was a great. It was a great ride for me, and there were some unusual bits in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So early doors, probably about 2007, I think, or 8, we went round the streets of Liverpool on the back of a trailer.
That's right, I remember that well.
Playing, and my sort of lasting memory of that is my mum and my auntie Eileen trying to keep up, because they didn't want to miss anything, and we were playing on the back.
Going past the Empire and all that, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
I do remember
that. We've got that on video, and that was fabulous. And
yeah, that was good.
And I suppose for me, being part of a band and getting up and playing, you know, all the clubs in the northwest and that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, you know, it's been good, but nothing lasts forever.
No, indeed, indeed. And tribute bands are ten a penny at the minute as well. There seems to be, you know, cropping up everywhere. There's loads of tribute bands, and some of them are absolutely fantastic. The ELO tribute band that are doing the rounds at the minute, that lucky enough to know Vicky Reed, who plays in that, and it's funny because I was at their first gig that they did at the O2 Academy, and I thought, what's this going to be like? Because to be a tribute band to someone like ELO, but they were fantastic. And I think in a similar way, yourselves had lots of great compliments from people who said, you know, you're one of the best tribute bands we've seen. And that's what you were, a tribute band that started off as a pub band, if you like. But, you know, you were a tribute band and you got to play some good venues.
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I think we were probably more of a covers band, because actually one of my frustrations probably over the last 3-4 months or so is that we never took it to that level. And I've spoken to a guy recently who plays in Viva La Coldplay.
Yeah, again, they're really good.
You know, they've been going for about 15 years.
Yeah.
But I was chatting to him, and again, he was saying, you've got to make that move. As soon as you become a tribute band, it opens up more doors.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I wanted us to, especially with the Searchers, who we sort of based our early numbers on. We've done a lot of Searchers numbers, and we were looking for a gap, really.
Yeah.
And a lot of bands that we went to see that were playing 60s music, fantastic musicians, but they didn't really have more than a single vocal.
No.
So I think that the thing for us that where we really got noticed is putting harmonies in,
and two
or three vocals.
It did make it a bit different, yeah.
Well, it did, and I think that's what really made it work. Right up until the last gig I did, which was at Llandudno in January, again, the comments come, great harmonies.
Yeah.
And that was great for me, because that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean,
then maybe
it's, well, it seems, I mean, from someone who I used to have quite a bit of involvement, because I used to do the website and stuff all that, and then gradually that dwindled for various reasons. I've been to some great gigs and seen Searching, but it hasn't gone many places.
I mean, that's the difficult thing, and you know, we probably, I don't know, when we play a gig, we probably play about 32, 34 songs, which is a lot of songs.
Which is a lot of songs, yeah.
Because the 60s songs are only a couple of minutes long, as you know.
Yeah.
But that was possibly my frustration, and my frustration maybe come across over on the stage sometimes, because you're doing the same songs that you've been doing for 15 years.
Yeah.
And to be fair, some of the songs we did, I don't think anyone could do better than us.
No.
I really believe that. Pick up a lot of Searchers numbers so we could go out as a Searchers tribute, because they just retired.
That's right,
But after saying that, you know, we did try a few different things. I remember singing Please Stay at that gig as well. Again, we were trying a few different things. But I just think that, for me, in the end, I always come up with the set list for everything we did.
Mm-hmm.
I just always did, because I thought about it and thought what would work when.
Yeah.
And was told that the set list to come up with is Cabaret.
Yeah.
But actually, that's what we did.
That's what you do.
And it's called Buddy Holly. Yeah. Cabaret is probably...
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about that.
Sadly, as I've seen over the years with many bands, egos tend to get in the way. Anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I do wish them well. I mean, there's things all over Facebook saying I didn't give any notice. Well, I nearly left before Christmas, but then after a few incidents that went on.
Yeah.
But decided to honour the gigs that we had in.
Yeah.
And again, I honoured the gig at Llandudno, which was fabulous. And my mum was there as well.
Yeah.
Which was great to see that.
Yeah, that was good.
When you see, you know, the things that are put on about you, it's quite disappointing, really. Yeah. But anyone who really knows me and knows the band will know I give everything that I could possibly give.
Yeah.
And I am really disappointed. It's been saddening me for a long time.
Well,
that said, things maybe happen for a reason.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to move on, and you know, and
moving on from them. Draw a line under that. You've moved on, in my opinion, to bigger and better things.
Before
we tell people about the next stage, you want to play another song for us?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to write a couple of songs for the band as well, but I never really shared them with people, to be honest with you. But at a time that I was doing the singing, and we had Peter, Alan Wu, etc., we did go and play the Latham, which is very, very famous.
Oh, indeed. The Beatles played there.
Played the Searchers, etc. And I actually played a song there that I'd written for the band called Summertime Loving.
Okay.
My son Joe knows it really well, because he actually helped me with some of the words and stuff.
Okay.
And singing along. So that was good. And it was very much about the 60s, the Merseybeat era, the Cavern, all that type of stuff. And then following that, I wrote another song And again, most of the songs I do now is a place of the kids, to be honest with you. And I wrote this song, and I thought that this might be a good one to play.
Okay.
If I can remember what it is. But I wrote this for the band, and
okay.
If I play it for you now, I'll never ever play it again.
Okay.
It's called Mr. Emotion. Oh, and the good thing about this is I wanted to write a song that lasted 2 minutes long, and this lasts 2 minutes long. So here we go.
My name is Mr. Emotion. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I give my girl a devotion. I think my baby in needs. But I don't know if she thinks I'm the one. I think one day I'll wake and she'll be gone. I met her down at the cabin. '63. We talked and drank, we danced all night to the Searchers and the Big Three. I walked her home, I kissed her every day. Left soon after we'd agreed to date, but no one thought that it would last. My girl's reputation was making my heart beat fast. If you see my baby talking to some other guy, think she's not being a lady, she's giving him the eye. Then tell my baby that I
probably sounds a bit scruffy on an acoustic, that one. It should be on electric guitar, really. But anyway, you'll never ever hear that again.
There you go. That was Mr. Emotion. That was Mike Hart playing live on Vintage Radio. And I did get the couple of song references in there as well. Very clever. I like that.
To be best, yeah.
Okay, good stuff, mate. Good stuff. Okay, so that brings us on to the next stage. Stuff that you have been doing and are about to do with a good pal of mine, Mr. John Jenkins. So
yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It's been fabulous, really. I mean, obviously, I know John through yourself and through seeing him play. What happened, really, he put a thing up on Facebook saying that he was looking for a replacement lead guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, you know, Dennis is a great fella as well, a great guitarist, was looking to do his own stuff with Northline.
Yeah.
So I sent John a message just to say, look, I mean, I'm no lead guitarist as such, but if you want, I can help you out.
Mm-hmm.
So we started to get involved with that and, you know, met him and... also Pippa Murdy, who she can play so many instruments, so talented, and Dave Nixon, again, who's a songwriter in his own right. And again, we sort of got together and just started trying to do a few bits, so I had to learn lots of stuff, and yeah, we got to play with him at the Big Room, where I didn't play guitar but just sang vocals and stuff with 13 other people, I think it was, or 12 or 13.
There was a lot on the stage, wasn't there? I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, so that was great. And I think for me as well, it's just that they're really encouraging. I mean, I'm doing my best as a lead guitarist, and it's tough learning all the stuff, but hopefully I bring some other stuff to the party as
yeah.
well. So, you know, a bit of backing,
it was
a bit of vocals.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, I've got a lot of experience on the stage and stage presence and things like that. So
mm-hmm.
I think it seems to work, and we've been doing quite a bit of stuff. Been down to London with John
yeah.
and Pippa, so we've played there, and we're due to go again next Wednesday.
Okay.
Sorry, Joanne, I haven't mentioned that to you, but I'll talk about that when we get home.
Change the locks.
Yeah, change the locks. But yeah, so that'll be fun.
Okay.
And I think the good thing as well, certainly about John, he knows exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
But he's also encouraging the others in that setup to bring their own songs to the table.
Yeah.
Which is great. And also, you know, we're looking to see if we wanted to do covers, what covers could we bring to the table as well?
Okay.
Because it's quite difficult for original artists to get the bookings and get the pay that they deserve, and that's really hard.
It is.
But for me, it's just something different, and maybe leaving Searching, it may be a blessing. I'm sure I'll miss lots of it. I really will. But yeah, maybe this is the next stage for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the couple of times that I saw you at the Corn Market. I was there at the Big Room as well, and for me, it looks like a good fit. I mean, I've always said this about the company of people that I've known for pretty much a short time. But you know, John Jenkins, Dave Nixon, Mark, Alan O'Hare, they're all the good guys. Ian, Two Black Sheep, Amy, they're all the good people and the nice people, and they're honest and the straight as a die with you.
Well, you know, Ian was great. Ian sent me a message as well to say, look, we've all been there, we've all done the band thing or whatever, and maybe this will allow you to be creative and stuff. So that's good. And you know, it's just different doing original music. I think there's room for both. The same
Yeah,
is.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it.
Okay.
I'm slowly putting Searching to bed.
Good.
Which is difficult. But yeah, no, I'm really enjoying it.
Now you move on. There's a time for everything and everything.
Yeah, and it means I can play an acoustic guitar that I bought a few years ago, which I hadn't even.
Well, there you go.
Since,
if nothing else, you know, you've done that. You've dusted off some of your old songs. You've played them. You also got up at Tom Moorcroft's open mic night, and you did a couple of songs there as well.
Yeah, I mean. Again, I think I did that with Pippa.
Yeah.
We got up and done a few songs. And the first place that I really got up and done that was the Corn Market.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is a great little place to go as well. I've never done that before.
No.
So being in a band is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never, ever got any nerves at all. You know, I'm sitting here shaking. And, you know, because I'm on my own and I'm not used to things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was just...
It's different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's different and it's hard, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And but you know, I've done it and I want to carry on.
But on the other hand, you haven't got people's guitars to tune on, you haven't got everything else to do, so
no,
there you go, let them do that themselves.
That's true.
So
that
yeah,
is very true.
We move on and things are up on the up. So it's the Paris Wives is the name that you have that you're part of, isn't it? And one of the Paris Wives is listening tonight, David Nixon, and he sent me a couple of messages.
Oh.
One of them is to ask you, what is my most annoying habit? I don't know where that's come from.
Dave's
David
annoying
Nixon.
Habit.
Mine.
Oh, yours? Apparently. Oh, sorry. Oh, Dave's was easy. Yours? Are you probably too honest with me, I think? I don't know.
There you go.
I don't know. You give me that look when you know I'm wrong. So.
Well, there's always a look. There's always a look. Okay, so that's all going good for you, and good luck with everything that you do with John and stuff.
It's all good. Everything's good at the minute. And what I want to try to do as well at some point is book a venue and try to... I mean, the ideal thing for me, it's not a bucket list thing, but I'd love to get up and play some of my own songs, maybe some covers that have influenced me over the years. And, you know, if I can get any help from anyone along the way to do that, I would love to do it.
That'd be good.
I know I've spoke to you about that.
Yeah, it would be a good thing. Well, you've shown tonight that you can do that, and I'm sure there are plenty of people who would get up there on the night and join you.
I hope so.
We'll badger them to do it. I think it's a great idea, and I think it's something that we should do. Invite only, so if you're not on the guest list, you're not getting in.
Absolutely.
So we're going to wrap this up shortly, because we've taken a big chunk out of the show.
Yeah, sorry, folks. I've just got to say a quick hello to my team at the Royal.
Go on.
Royal Liverpool Hospital. So I don't know who's listening, but Maria certainly, who I've been at university with today, said, yeah, you need to say hello. But the problem is the hospital programme's on as well, and I don't know whether this clashes or not.
I know.
So I'm not sure. But I hope anyone who's listening, thanks for listening.
Well, for anyone who's not listening live, this will be broadcast as a podcast at the weekend as part of the Radio podcast series, which is doing really well. It has actually really taken me by surprise how many people have been listening and downloading the podcasts. Ian Prowse's that went up last week has now had 202 listens in the last week, which is amazing. Baz Francis has had nearly 400, and it has really taken me by surprise. So thank you so much to everybody who has listened. Make sure you listen to Mike's, which will be up at the weekend, and get those numbers up again. So thank you so much for doing that.
I'll be listening about 300 times. Yeah,
indeed. All right, so I'd like you to play another song for us before we wrap this up, if you will.
Yeah, okay. I mean, this is one I've literally just tried to pick this up this week, as myself and you went to see Boo Hoodine.
And we did.
Last week, from The Bible, and that was another band I listened to growing up and stuff, and yeah, brilliant writer, brilliant singer. I hope we can do it justice, but I'd like to dedicate this to Joanne, my mum, two great women in my life, and also as well to unfortunately a friend of ours, Leslie, who lost the battle with cancer. She was put to rest today, so I'd like to dedicate this to David Campbell as well. Yeah, all our thoughts and love are with you, mate, as well.
I echo that.
So this is called The Patience of Angels.
Okay, take it away. Absolutely brilliant. That was Patience of Angels, Behoudi in Colour, by Mike Haworth. Well done, Mike. That was absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much. And it just remains for me to say thank you for joining me here on Vintage Radio this evening as part of the Gezi. And good luck with everything that you do. Good luck with Paris Wives. And keep writing and keep playing.
Cheers, fella.
You're welcome, mate.
Here's a little message just to let you know. You're listening to Radio. This is the Cliff Haworth Radio Show. Yeah! A little message just to let you know. You're listening to Vintage Radio.
Any opinions expressed here on the Radio Show are solely mine, and not necessarily those of Vintage Radio.
This is Vintage Radio.